Hi, you're listening to a podcast brought to you by the teaching team at New Life in North Lincolnshire. New Life is committed to helping transform people and transform places through the love and power of Jesus Christ. We hope you, in some small way, will be blessed and transformed by this message.
Good morning. It's great to be with you this morning. For those of you who don't know me, my name is Dina, and I am on the pastoral team here at New Life. And we are in this brand new mini-series called Restart. September is always it's the start of a new academic year in school. There's always that kind of sense of fresh beginning. So as Christians, what is it that we need in our metaphorical school bag as we go into this season? What is it that we need to carry as disciples of Jesus? And last Sunday, Dr. John Andrews kicked us off by looking at the Bible, the importance of getting God's word in us, the importance of spending time. You know, what a privilege to have the Bible, what a privilege to have access to this. And so he was looking at that. And today I have been tasked with looking at the practice of prayer. What should our engagement with prayer look like? Now, across the room, there will be many different approaches to prayer. Some people will be like, yeah, love praying. I find it really easy. I do like 6 hours a day. Other people will be like, prayer, it's hard work. It's tricky. Right at the start, I just want to say this. One of the greatest enemies of prayer is condemnation. When we feel condemned, like, oh, I'm not praying enough, I'm not doing enough. Listen, that is not the aim of today, okay? We will all, if you imagine prayer has been kind of on a scale, we will all be at some point along that scale. And my prayer is that through the message this morning, that you won't feel condemned, but there'll be that challenge and that encouragement. Wherever I find myself as a prayer, I want to move on just a little bit. So this is not about where the person next to you is, where everybody else is, but this is about us as disciples of Jesus. Because no matter how much we know, there's always more to learn. No matter how much we kind of do stuff, no matter how much we pray, there's always more that we can grow in. So that's the aim of today. So why don't we pray before we get into the subject of prayer? Father, thank you for your presence here today. Thank you because we are able to come and gather in freedom, and we're able to praise you and worship you. And as I speak now, Lord God, may it be your words that people hear. I pray you will bring the challenge and the encouragement that we need in our life of prayer, so that when we leave this place, each one of us will be able to have something to take away. It's really practical that can help us grow in our prayer life. In your name, we ask this, Jesus. Amen. Now, again, with the subject of prayer, we could do months-long series on prayer, and I've just got this morning. So it's kind of a bit of a whistle-stop tour, and hopefully really practical that we'll all be able to take something from it. So the first question is, what is prayer? And there's a sense, I know, that most of us in the room will have an understanding. When we talk about prayer, especially in church, we have a form of understanding of what it is. We teach our kids that prayer is how we talk to God. We teach our young people it's how you tell God kind of what's going on in your life and the things that you need. When we're adults, we expand it and we say it's how we speak to God and how God speaks back to us. And all of those definitions are correct. But if we only see prayer as a form of transactional process where we send our requests up to God and then like some heavenly vending machine, he dishes out the answers, we've missed the point. Because prayer is about more than what we can get from God. It's actually how we get to know God himself. Prayer is the medium through which we communicate and commune with God. So it's not just, well, I'm coming to my prayer time, I'm going to talk some things and then I'm done. But actually, there's a sense that, God, I can communicate with you, but I can also commune with you. I can be with you in your presence. I can spend time with you. Prayer is how we interact with the God of the Bible. Prayer is how we communicate and commune with him. You might have someone in your life, maybe it's your husband or your wife or a really close friend, that you love spending time with. And when you're with them, you like to chat together and laugh together and kind of chew over the things that are going on in your world, the big life issues. But then equally, you're just as comfortable to just sit in their presence, not having to talk, not having to like communicate one, just be together. Anybody have people like that? Mark's probably thinking, I wish we'd have more of those times when you weren't just talking, we'd have more just being with each other, but that, we'll deal with that another time. That's the same with prayer. There are times for talking and times for praising, but there were also times just for deep quiet and intimacy with God. And that's when we're talking about communing with God. That's what I'm talking about. So not just prayer is me talking to God and telling him the things I need, but actually there's the opportunity to just be in his presence, to sit at his feet, to allow him to minister to me. So prayer transcends simply talking, but actually envelops so much more of how we get to communicate and be with the God that we read about in the Bible. So why is prayer important? Well, a number of reasons. Jesus prayed, and therefore we should. I mean, that in itself would be enough. We're called to model our lives on Jesus. We're disciples of Jesus. And very often in the New Testament, when we read that actually Jesus, he would perform miracles, he would teach, he would be with the people. But so often it then says Jesus often withdrew to a quiet place or a lonely place or an isolated place to pray. Jesus, who was fully God, who had the power to heal, who had the power to raise people from the dead, still knew his need of time alone with his Father. He withdrew. And often when we read in the Gospels, Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John, who wrote about the life of Jesus, it's often after those times when Jesus is given out, when he's ministered, when he's emptied himself, that's when he then goes and spends time with the Father. What a pattern for us to follow. We read in Mark 1 that Jesus has just healed Simon's mother-in-law. And this is what it says. That evening after sunset, so we're talking it's a late one already because the sun's already set, many sick and demon-possessed people were brought to Jesus. The whole town gathered at the door to watch. That's a lot of people. So Jesus healed many people who were sick with various diseases, and he cast out many demons. Before daybreak the next morning, so let's bear in mind, this started after sunset, and now it's before daybreak, so he's not had much sleep. Jesus got up and went out to an isolated place to pray. So why is prayer important? Because Jesus prayed. And if it's good enough for the Son of God, it should be good enough for us. Another reason why prayer is important, Jesus taught us how to pray. There are two accounts, one in the book of Luke and one in the book of Matthew. And Luke records that one day after either seeing or hearing Jesus going off to pray, one of the disciples says, Jesus, teach us how to pray. As we've seen you, as we've heard you, would you teach us how to pray? And then in Matthew and in Luke, they record the prayer that Jesus teaches. So I just want to read some verses from Matthew chapter 6. This is what Jesus says. When you pray, don't be like the hypocrites who love to pray publicly on street corners and in the synagogues where everyone can see them. I tell you the truth, that is all the reward they will ever get. But when you pray, go away by yourself, shut the door behind you, and pray to your Father in private. Then your Father who sees everything will reward you. When you pray, don't babble on and on as the Gentiles do. They think their prayers are answered merely by repeating their words again and again. Don't be like them, for your Father knows exactly what you need, even before you ask him. Pray like this. And then he goes on to give them the prayer that many of us will know as the Lord's Prayer. And I'd like us to pray it together this morning. Now, I've got it up on the screen. If you're like me and you're old school, you will probably say, Our Father who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Any of these and thys in the house? That's how I learned it in school. So what's going to come up on the screen is a slightly modern version, but you knock yourself out with these thous and wherefores. I'm absolutely fine with that. So let's stand just in honor of this prayer, a beautiful prayer that Jesus taught us, and let's say it together. Our Father who is in heaven, hallowed be your name. Your kingdom come, your will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us today our daily bread, and forgive us our sins as we forgive those who sin against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from the evil one. For thine is the kingdom, the power, and the glory, forever and ever. Amen. Amen. You can take your seats. I mean, we could teach on the Lord's Prayer for weeks. And maybe in your small groups, just take the Lord's Prayer and look at each kind of phrase and what it means and the pattern it can give us for praying. But why is prayer important? Jesus taught us how to pray the Lord's Prayer. Another reason why prayer is important is because we're called to be disciples, not just decisions. We're called to be disciples, not just decisions. So when we first, in whatever form it might have been, when we first encounter Jesus, when we first have that moment of, I need this Jesus in my life, we make a decision. We make a decision, I want to follow Jesus, I want to become a Christian, I want this life of faith. But it's not supposed to just stop as a decision that it's like, well, I've made that decision, I'm guaranteed an eternal life in heaven, I'm done. No. We don't stay as decisions. We become disciples, lifelong learners, people who follow Jesus. And if becoming more like Jesus is the goal, and prayer is one of the main ways that we can become like him outside of the Bible, then prayer is important for our discipleship journey. Prayer helps us in our quest to get to know God more. Prayer is all about our spiritual formation, helping us to become the Christ-centered people that God wants us to be. That's why prayer is important. Jesus prayed, Jesus taught us how to pray, and it helps us in our journey of becoming more like Jesus. So my next question is, how should we pray? And it's at this point that sometimes people can feel a bit like, oh, she's going to get at me. No condemnation, just challenge and encouragement. So last week when John was preaching and some of the points he said, I'm like, oh, that applies to prayer as well. John said the scriptures are essential for your faith. And I want to say this morning, prayer is essential for your faith. Prayer is our way of accessing God through Jesus by the power of the Spirit. That's essential for us in our faith. He also, John said, our attitude towards the book, the Bible, will determine our approach towards it. And I'd say the same with prayer. Our attitude towards prayer will affect our approach towards it. He used the word sloppy, casual, and lazy. If that's how we approach the Bible, that can sometimes also be how we approach prayer. It's kind of a take it or leave it. If I can fit it in, that's good. So how should we pray? The first thing is, we need good habits and daily rhythms. Our lives are ordered by rhythm, whether that's the seasons that we find ourselves in, whether that's the time ticking. You know, time never stops. I was doing part of my job, I work in a school, and before the summer, I was trying to teach kids to tell the time. Oh my goodness, that is a tricky, tricky concept for children to get. Won't even go into some of the painful times I had. But one of the questions they would be asked is, when you are sleeping, does the clock stop? And some, it hadn't even entered their head that, like, because obviously when they go to sleep, what else happens in the world? They're asleep. But the structure of time, it's a day, it never stops, it's a rhythm. And we live within rhythms, whether that's day and night, time and seasons. And actually, it's those rhythms and our habits that help keep us grounded and help keep us live in some form of order. Now, granted, some personalities are kind of more geared towards habits and daily rhythms than others. Some would like to kind of just live free, and we don't need any of that. But we live within the confines of habits and rhythms. And as disciples, we need to create good, healthy habits that will help us to continue to pursue Jesus. Because what we build into our lives now will help ensure that we're still following Jesus in years to come. And I'm sure if you were to ask some of the older members of New Life who are still loving Jesus, still following him, if you ask them, what habits do you build in? I guarantee they will have some that keep drawing them back to the cross, drawing them back to the word. Now, a moment, not a moment of truth, that's the wrong phrase, a bit of an admission. I find it really hard work to keep good habits. I'm great at starting them, but I find it hard to keep them. But that's not an excuse to not keep trying. And so we need to build in really good, regular, daily habits and rhythms to help us in our prayer. And just to say, not every time of prayer or Bible reading is going to feel like a life-changing experience. Not every time you open up the Word, not every time you sit and pray or walk and pray, is it going to be like, wow, heaven touched earth. The angels are dancing. It's not going to feel like that. Just like every meal you eat is not going to be an out-of-this-world culinary experience. But you know that your meals nourish you. You might not remember what you had for tea last Tuesday, but you know that it was good for you. And in that same way, when we pray, when we read our Bible, it might not absolutely blow our minds, but we know that it's good and it's nourishing us. So what do we need to do to build in good prayer habits? Again, I'm going to pinch some of Dr. John's points from last week because it fits so well with prayer. So here's number one. How do we build in good habits? We need to create a time and a space. We need to create a time and a space. And your best time to pray could be completely different from anybody else's, but that's okay. When I was growing up, we used to hear people preaching about the topic of prayer, and what they'd say was, it doesn't matter when you pray, but early morning's best. And I used to really struggle with that because, you know, if you're a parent of very young children, early mornings are probably the worst time for you to pray. And so genuinely, I don't believe there are any better or kind of best times to pray. You have to create a time and a space that works for you to set that time aside. And, you know, it doesn't have to be sitting down or sitting still. You've got to work with your personality. Maybe for you, you most connect with God when you're out walking. Maybe for you, it's when you are sitting in a particular chair. Maybe for you, it's when you're at the gym or going out running. I had some friends who love to run, and they're like, oh, and I was running and I was praying and the Lord spoke this to me and he said this to me. I'm like, my goodness, if I run, I'm just concentrating on staying alive. I can't concentrate on Jesus as well. I go swimming each week, and I thought I could use that time to pray, but I'm so conscious, like, this is Lent 33, all the way down, I'm saying the thing, and I can't pray when I'm swimming. That's just not for me. But maybe for you, you can. Maybe you could. The issue is not where or when, but the issue is doing it, creating that regular time. Jesus, this is my time I want to give to you, creating that time and space. Second thing, make it happen or it won't happen. Dead obvious, dead easy, but make it happen or it won't happen. Life is always going to have something else we could be doing. Okay, it's not always going to be like, I've got nothing else to do, prayer, that's all I've got. No, there will always be other things that you could be doing. But if you really want to pray, we have to make it happen. If we want to, we have to make it happen. If we go back to Jesus, Jesus only ministered for 3 years. If that was me, I would live on full pelt panic mode. I have got to get as much done in this time as I can. I've got to save as many people as I can. I've got to heal as many people as I can. But yet Jesus, when he could have been healing more people, which is a good thing, he could have been raising more people from the dead, setting more captives free, opening people's eyes. When he could have been doing that, he still chose to go and pray. What a powerful, powerful thing that actually, A, the world doesn't rest on your shoulders, but B, it's not always about filling your time with everything else. If Jesus withdrew to a quiet place to pray, that's what we need to do. And sometimes it's the stuff of life that gets in the way, whether that's running a home or parenting the kids or working or Netflix or whatever else it might be. But sometimes it's the stuff of ministry and church work that can get in the way. And we can be so busy doing stuff for Jesus that we neglect spending time with Jesus. Now, none of those things have just said working and the home and all that. None of them are bad. But we need to, within that, be able to carve some time and space to be with Jesus. Some of you might have the YouVersion app on your phone, and I don't know if you had an email today from them about prayer, and they gave three really simple pointers to help you with the prayer. And you can set on your phone prayer reminders. You can have a little alarm or a little email sent to you, it's time to pray. So if that helps you, do it. Don't feel guilty, like, well, I should just be remembering. Set a reminder on your phone, it's prayer time, okay, I'm going to stop what I'm doing. Just helpful things. Next thing, you've got to turn off the noise. Our world is so noisy and so full on and busy. We wear busy as like a badge of honor. And we have emails and notifications and video and so much coming at us all the time. It can be really hard to just switch that off and quieten our hearts. But my goodness, if we want to be more like Jesus, that's what we need to do. We need to be able to create time and space when we can turn down the noise. You know, as Christians, we're not called to conform to the patterns of this world. We are, like Tom just said, we live in the world and we are surrounded by that noise, but we have to create time and space when we can step out of that and create time to be with God. It's so easy, isn't it, to fritter away so much of our time doing things that don't really matter. How many of us, I wonder, scroll just endlessly sometimes? There's nothing wrong with that. There's nothing wrong with leisure time. There's nothing wrong with Netflix. There's nothing wrong with doing that stuff. But actually, sometimes we need to pause that stuff and take time in the quiet to make time to be with Jesus. Maybe some of us need to think about subtraction rather than addition. That actually, rather than seeing prayer as something else I've got to add into this already busy schedule, what do I maybe need to take out of my schedule? What could I maybe just remove? What could I do different in order to add that prayer time in? Try and create some space in your day when you can just quieten everything and spend some time with Jesus. And that's going to look different for all of us, whatever season of our life we're in. But we need to turn down the noise. We need to start small. So if right now you're thinking, I don't have a scheduled time of prayer, it's just kind of ad hoc as I kind of think about it through the day, please don't go from here thinking, I'm going to do an hour. I'm going to set my alarm early tomorrow and I'm going to get up and I'm going to do an hour. It won't work. You won't stick at it. Start with 5 minutes. Better to have 5 minutes of uninterrupted quality time with Jesus than set yourself a goal of doing so much and fading. Experts talk about the J curve, that anytime you're starting to do something new, it gets harder before it gets easier. Did you like that beautiful J then? See what I did? Beautiful J. Think about the J curve. And, you know, when you're able to do 5 minutes, increase it to 10 minutes, increase it to 15 minutes. We will all be at different stages in our life of prayer. So start small. Don't try and bite off more than you can chew. Remember, it's about relationship and not just requests. Sometimes people say, because we're good old Penties, aren't we? And we love just free prayer and, you know, the spirit's moving. And people can get a little bit nervous around set prayers and pre-written prayers. And, you know, do they really count as much? Listen, the Lord's Prayer was the first pre-written set prayer that we have. It's okay to pray prayers that are written by somebody else. If that's how you best connect with Jesus, that's perfectly fine. We have the freedom to speak in any way that we want, you know, to be able to pray freely. But if it helps you to get a book with prayers pre-written, then use that, whatever it takes for you to connect with him. The next thing, I don't know what number we're on, but the next thing is pray, I think. P-R-A-Y, yeah. So there's a guy called Pete Gregg who founded 24/7 Prayer, and he uses this acrostic, pray, just as a really practical tool that when you're in that moment, you've set aside the time, Jesus, this is for you. What do I do in that? Okay, so the P stands for pause. Right at the start, just quiet your heart. Take some time just to be still. Holy Spirit, would you just come in this moment, whether you've got 5 minutes or 55 minutes, take some time just to pause. The R stands for rejoice. Spend some time thanking God for who he is. Use the Psalms if you need to. Some beautiful songs of praise within the book of Psalms. Thank God for who he is, what he's done for you, his provision, his kindness, his goodness. Take some time to rejoice in him. The A, anybody want to guess what the A stands for? Yes, ask. That's the moment. Ask God for the things that you need. Ask him for the good things he has for you. Bring your needs and your requests to him. He is a good, good father who listens and wants to hear us. And then the Y stands for yield. Yield. Ultimately, it's God, not my will, but yours be done. I surrender my life to you. I give myself to you. I've praised you. I've rejoiced. I've asked. But ultimately, I come and say it's more about you than it is about me. And maybe that'll help you to use the acrostic pray, to pause, rejoice, ask, or yield. Just a really little one for those of you who are in school or college maybe, to think about the three L's. Jesus, today, will you help me in my learning? Help me to grow, help me to get what the teachers are telling me. Would you help me in my living? Help me to live a life that's different. Help me to live a life that shows I'm full of Jesus. And help me in my loving. Help me as I love other people. Help me to treat my friends well. So for those of you, maybe adults as well, that might help you in your learning, your living, your loving. You see, I'm trying to make prayer as accessible and as easy as possible so that we all have something we can take that, yeah, I can put that in place. So that's just a little thing for the students maybe. And then one more. Punctuate your day with prayer. So set times of prayer are vital and are good. But we have access to God 24 hours a day, 7 days a week. You don't have to wait until your prayer time. You don't have to wait until Sunday church. You can pray at any point during your day. And it might be that for you, when you've had that set time of prayer and you've read your Bible, maybe at another point in the day, maybe at lunchtime, you just take kind of 5 or 10 minutes, wherever it might be, just to hone back in to Jesus, you are in my day and I just want to become aware of your presence again. I know at the 24/7 prayer headquarters at 12 noon every day, everybody stops and they come together and they say the Lord's Prayer, then they get back on with the work. Maybe you could build in something like that. In my small group quite a few months ago, we were talking about the whole subject of prayer. And one of the things that somebody says was, it's so easy to kind of pray at the beginning of the day and then get to the end of the day and realize you've not really thought about God throughout the day. You've not been a terrible person. You've just been so busy doing it, getting on with your day. And for a while, some of us set an alarm at 12 noon, and mine was called An Awareness of the Presence of God. And my alarm would go off, and it would just remind me, God, you're in this day. So punctuate your day with prayer. It doesn't have to just be that one moment. 1 Thessalonians says, always be joyful, never stop praying. And just a final word on the subject of prayer. Most of you know I'm married to Mark. And in our relationship, we'll have all sorts of different forms of communication. So we'll just have the little snapshots of, you know, like, hey, did you sleep all right last night? Who's got the car today? Where do the kids need to be? Can you drop that parcel off? It's just normal, everyday conversation. We then might have a few texts or WhatsApps through the day if I know he's got a difficult meeting. Hey, I'm just praying, letting you know I'm praying for you. God will give you wisdom. Can you remember to set the oven? You know, there's different, we check in with each other throughout the day. But then there are also times when actually those snatched conversations are not enough and we need some quality time together. Some time set aside when there's just me and Mark and we can chat and we can invest in our marriage together. And if we only ever have those quick snatches of conversation, our relationship very soon is going to suffer. If we're only ever, while we're cooking the tea or doing something else, we're just chit-chatting, that's good, but it needs more than that. And that's the same in our prayer life, that actually we do have that option of that constant communication. And I love that. For me, I'm constantly, Lord, will you help me today? Give me wisdom. Help me as I go into school. Help me to know what they're going to ask me to do. And one of my prayers is, Lord, please help me to find a parking spot that is accessible and is not too tight. But we have that ability for that constant, just those little bits of communication. But we also need the deeper and the meaningful and the more time. Both are important and both help us to develop our prayer life. What a privilege that we get to spend time with the Creator of the universe. What a privilege that we can bring Him our needs and our requests. What a privilege that we get to take time out of our day to be with Him. And what a waste of an opportunity if we don't take it. You know, you are loved by God. And just as a parent loves to hear their child speak, so too it is with God. When we come to Him, there's a joy. There's a sense of pride. These are my children coming to speak with me. And I want to just finish with these words that are from the prayer practice that some of us did in small group a little bit earlier this year. May Jesus teach you to pray, to commune and communicate with our Father, and lead you into a deeper life of union with the Spirit. Amen.
Thanks for listening to this message from New Life in North Lincolnshire. To find out more, do visit us online at newlifechurch.uk, or why not pay us a visit? We'd love to see you.